Good afternoon, everyone. I have a question for you. What would you say is the center of the universe? Does anyone have an answer? Actually, I look to our young people. So if are there any young people out here? What would you say is the center of our universe? I guess it depends how young at heart you are. The sun? Sun's an interesting answer. Sun could be one of the answers. The sun. Anything else that somebody would consider to be the center of the universe? The Temple Mount, that's an interesting, it's a very interesting one. Actually, going forward, that's one of the ones I was thinking of. Matt?
God's throne.
God's throne. So if you were watching quickly, I actually flipped through God's throne. So there are a few different answers that people could have, right? So when you think about the center of the universe, what do you think about, and especially from the Word of God, specifically, what is the city that is mentioned the most in Scripture? Jerusalem, right? So we might think of God's throne as the center of the universe. We might think about the sun, to agree with Copernicus and with Galileo, we would say the sun. We might say the earth, but from God's perspective, when we look through the Bible, Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is mentioned more than any other city in the Bible. It's mentioned a total of 811 times in Scripture, 764 different verses. The sun, by reference, is only mentioned 152 times. And it's mentioned more than 10 times more than any other city in the Bible. Jerusalem is at the center. Jerusalem is the focal point of the Bible and of the entire universe. It's on this pinprick of a map that the world has revolved since the very earliest of times. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What is it about this city that so stirs the hearts of millions, actually billions of believers throughout the world? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What is it about this city, this small piece of real estate, this combination of ancient limestone and modern concrete that has so narrowly focused the view of the entire world? What exactly is Jerusalem? I think most of us know that one of the interpretations of the word Jerusalem means city of peace. And yet, ironically, it's probably the least peaceful city on the face of the earth. Jerusalem is a city without any firm boundaries, yet it's a city with multitude of boundaries. It's a city that technically is owned by no one, yet everybody lays their claim, their stake, that they own a piece of Jerusalem. So who really owns Jerusalem? Is it the Jews? Is it the Christians? Or is it the Muslims? Or is it all of them? Or is it none of them? Who really owns Jerusalem? Each group lays their respective claims to Jerusalem, to that piece of the rock, so to speak. So let's look at each one of these. First of all, let's look at Judaism. In Jewish tradition, it was here in Jerusalem that God collected the dust of the earth to make Adam. This is also the place where Abraham met with Melchizedek, king of Salem. And it's also the location where Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Many years later, King David made Jerusalem his capital, more than 30 centuries ago. How many of you saw the information in the news in the past week that they made a new discovery in Jerusalem, finding more of the remnants of the city of David? That just has come out in the last couple of weeks as well. And his son, David's son, King Solomon, built the first temple shortly after the reign of David. Solomon built the temple, but yet it was destroyed by the invading armies, and the people were carried away into exile. Psalm 137 is known as the Song of the Exiles. Let's turn to Psalm 137, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 137, verses 5 and 6, it says, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her skill." Or some other translations render that, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither." And then it says, "If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy." The Living Bible states that if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill upon the harp. If I fail to love her more than my highest joy, let me never sing again. And so those exiles did return, and they rebuilt the temple. And then the second temple was built in Jerusalem by King Herod, only to be destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. What remains of that second temple, the western wall of the Temple Mount, is considered to be Judaism's holiest shrine. Jerusalem is also the location where the Jews wait for the coming of the Messiah, and the location of the future temple of God yet to be built. There is no doubt in Judaism that the Jews have the greatest claim to Jerusalem. For Christians, the Messiah has already come, and it was here in Jerusalem that Jesus kept the last Passover, was crucified here, was buried here, and rose again, all in Jerusalem. The New Testament church was born and began in Jerusalem on Pentecost. And it is here in Jerusalem where Jesus Christ will return again to this earth. In Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, here Jesus Christ laments over Jerusalem. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As a place of Christian pilgrimage, Jerusalem has no equal. Medieval maps place Jerusalem at the center of the universe, as did Dante. Today, Christian pilgrims can touch the rock where Jesus was supposed to have been crucified, and they can attend church at the location where Jesus was supposedly buried. There is no doubt in Christianity that the Christians have the greatest claim to Jerusalem. For Muslims, Jerusalem is the third holiest shrine after Mecca and Medina. But did you know early on in Muhammad's life, Jerusalem, not Mecca, was considered to be the holiest city? And so before Mecca became the center of the Islamic universe, Muhammad directed all of his followers to bow in prayer, not toward Mecca, but toward Jerusalem. To Muhammad, Jerusalem was the sacred city of all the holy prophets who preceded him. However, it is interesting to note that the word Jerusalem does not occur in the original Quran, but later interpretations of the Quran reference Muhammad taking a mystical night flight on a winged horse to Jerusalem, aided by the angel Gabriel. From there, on the very rock where Abraham had offered his son as a sacrifice, Muhammad ascended a ladder to the throne of Allah. And that place? Well, I'll give you a hint. When you think of Jerusalem in your mind and an image comes to your mind, this represents Jerusalem, what do you think of? I was doing a polling before and asking a few different people. About 80 to 90% of the people will think of this, right? The Dome of the Rock. And that's the place where Muhammad is said to have ascended to the throne of Allah. The Dome of the Rock is a Muslim shrine. And where is the Dome of the Rock? It's atop the Temple Mount in the center of Jerusalem, centered in the center of the holiest shrine of Judaism. Muhammad's ascension is said to have confirmed the continuity between Muhammad and all previous prophets and messengers of God, and a lineage going all the way back to Adam. It also established a divine connection between Mecca and Jerusalem. So there's no doubt in Islam that the Muslims have the greatest claim to Jerusalem. So Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all claim Jerusalem to be their own. They all want a piece of the rock, quite literally. Are all of these historical events being centered in Jerusalem just simply a coincidence? No. Isn't it remarkable that two of the holiest shrines of all the world are literally built one on top of the other? Remarkable, yes. Coincidence, no. Jerusalem is a world of collisions, a world of collisions that all occur in a very small place, all competing for that one very small piece of earth. There are roughly 150 million square kilometers on the face of the earth. The old city of Jerusalem encompasses less than one square kilometer. That's less than 0.00000006% of the face of the earth. And Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are all pointing to that exact same minute piece of earth as their own and central to their faith. For billions of believers who may never even see it, Jerusalem remains a city that's central in their sacred geography. Coincidence? No. Prophetic? Yes. So what is the solution for this divided city? Well, very simply, there is no human solution. The city is forever humanly divided and will see no true peace until the return of Messiah. Yet even at his return, the city shall bleed once more. The final apocalyptic battle of Armageddon takes place as the armies are encamping around Jerusalem, then battle against the returning Messiah and his armies. So will God's name always remain with Jerusalem? Yes, it will. In 2 Chronicles 33, verse 4, it says that King Manasseh also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." Shall this city of peace ever see peace? Yes, it will, in the millennium and beyond. Turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Micah 4, verses 1 through 3. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" So Jerusalem will become a true city of peace. And after the millennium, Jerusalem is the only city mentioned as being central to the new heavens and new earth. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, and the former things have passed away.'" So will Jerusalem see peace? Yes, it will, but it won't see peace from men. Men will seek peace in vain. Only true peace can come from God. Is Jerusalem the center of the universe? I'd like to read to you a quote from the Midrash Tankuma Kedeshim, which says, quote, "As the navel is set in the center of the human body, so is the land of Israel the navel of the world, situated in the center of the world. And Jerusalem is the center of the land of Israel, and the temple in the center of Jerusalem, and the holy place in the center of the temple, and the ark in the center of the holy place, and the foundation stone before the holy place, because from it the world was founded." End quote. At the end of the feast each year, we often leave our friends with the farewell of, "Next year in Jerusalem, one day we shall be there." When you hear about Jerusalem in the news, you're hearing about the holy city of God. Listen for Jerusalem. It's calling to you. I'd like to ask, we're going to have a special singing presentation. Any of you who have been to our house know that we have a player piano, and you know my favorite player piano role. We always have to play this one. It's called The Holy City. And so Jacqueline agreed to sing The Holy City for us. If you've never heard the song, it's beautiful. It talks about Jerusalem past, present, and future. So Jacqueline, if you please come up. So next year in Jerusalem, I look forward to seeing you there.